I have loved this series, and I love that little title package because most of you, maybe some of you, I see your faces, and you watch that at the end, and you think, are they saying what we think we're saying? What we think they're saying? And the truth is, yes, we are. That's exactly what we're saying. We want you to have an anything but average kind of life. And we have no idea what's in store for you, but we're excited about this series. My name is Clay, and it's an honor for me to get to be here with you guys. We are a church of multiple locations, and so I'm standing here in Alpharetta at North Point Community Church. In 1998, when I moved to Atlanta to go to a school downtown called Georgia Tech, I actually started going to church here and worked here as the high school pastor for a while, and then eventually moved up north a little bit to the luxurious lake community called Browns Bridge Church. So to everyone at Browns Bridge, we want to say hello to you. There's like four people that said hello, but everyone else just by way of virtual technology, they said hello. So this is pretty cool for us to get to be all together. I love this idea, anything but average. A couple of months ago, my wife and I took our kids. We have a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 1-year-old, and we're pregnant again. And yes, we do know how that happens. We were at Disney, like most parents do. It's just part of being a parent, I guess. And here we were standing in line for one of the princesses. I don't even care or remember which one it was because I was rolling my eyes the whole time, making eye contact with other dads, just looking at them going, your life's over as well? Yeah. Me too. How much longer? 2 hours to see Belle? Oh, seems about right. So here we are standing in line to watch, to see these princesses, and we get all the way up to where they are, and my daughter is just so excited, and our son is, he's 3 and a half, and he's moderately excited, trying to act like he's not because he doesn't think that's cool to be into princesses. And so one day, he will really be into princesses, but for now, he's not really into princesses. So he's standing there, we're all standing there, and they're all consumed, fixated on, I think it was Cinderella and Belle. Meanwhile, I'm noticing the guy over in the corner, Winston from Sheboygan, Wisconsin. He's an intern at Disney. How did I know that? Because it was on his name tag. And I was thinking, what is this guy thinking? He's probably standing there going, oh, this is real cool. Everybody's in line to see the princesses. No one's in line to see me. And the truth is, our kids have a better chance of growing up to be Winston than they do growing up to be Cinderella and Belle. So if they really wanted to know what their future is like, they really should stand in line to meet the intern at Disney. But they're not going to do that. Why? Because you didn't do that either. I don't do that either. No, when we're younger, what do we want to be? We all want to be the president of the United States, or we want to be an NBA basketball player. Some of you want to grow up to be a princess. Some of you want to grow up to be a doctor, a lawyer, somebody famous, or an amazing teacher, or professor, or something really cool, something that's not typical, something that's not normal. I just know for me, when I was a kid, if you would have asked me, say, what do you want to do in your, with your life? I would have said, I don't know, but I know that I want to be anything but average. Average is not a superlative in our culture that anyone shoots for, especially not when we're younger. But yet somehow in life, we grow up to be adults and we all just kind of settle into, we just kind of drift into this average life. And I have loved the series because we're looking at an invitation that Jesus made to all of us. And it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or if you're not, if you consider yourself a Christian or whether or not you don't. Whether you're watching online at Browns Bridge, North Point, the invitation is for all of us. Jesus says, hey, I would like to invite you into a life that's anything but average. It supersedes what you do for your career. No, it's actually something that can become part of who you are, that you have the potential to be anything but average. So we've been answering a couple of very important questions. One of them is this. What do anything but average people know? And what do anything but average people do? And as we're going to look today, it actually is a little more important to figure out what anything but average people do and not so much what anything but average people know. We kicked off week one with this idea right here that anything but average people give more than expected. Jesus said, hey, if you want to be average, just figure out what's expected and give just that. What does your wife expect from you? What do your kids expect from you? What does your boss expect from you? What do your friends expect from you? Jesus said, you want to be average? You figure out what's expected and you give just that. He says, but if you want to be anything but average, you go the extra mile, Jesus said. You give above and beyond what's actually expected of you. whether the person likes you or whether they don't. He says, if you want to be anything but average, you follow my lead. Jesus demonstrated what it looked like to be an anything but average kind of person. Then last week, Joel said it this way, I think, in week one. Joel said, anything but average people exceed expectations. Last week, we introduced this idea that anything but average people, they live for later. Anything but average people live for later. Average, what is average? Average means I'm fixated on now. I'm concerned about today. I'm interested in right now. I'm obsessing over my joy and satisfaction right now. That's average. That's what most people do. But Jesus says, like, don't do that. He says, don't just store up treasures for yourself on earth where they can rust and decay. He says, no, it's a bad investment. He says, store up treasures for yourself in heaven. Store up treasures for yourself later, not just in this life. It's a massively powerful concept that Jesus gives us. If you want to be average, you consume yourself with now. If you want to be anything but average, you live for later. Jesus is teaching us all of this in what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. This is an incredibly long sermon. It took up all of Matthew 5, all of Matthew 6, and Matthew also wrote about it in Matthew 7. So three chapters in the work of Matthew saying, hey, this is what Jesus' life was like. And he one day wrote down this sermon that Jesus gave that we call the Sermon on the Mount. The most famous sermon ever until today. I kid, I'm just kidding. But what's amazing about the Sermon on the Mount is at the very end of Matthew 7, Matthew says, hey, the crowds stayed all day long. Jesus' popularity had risen to heights rarely seen. And he said, when Jesus got done teaching, people were astonished at what he said. Because he was introducing what this new life could look like if we were to shoot for a life that was beyond average. Jesus said over and over again, hey, you've heard it said, that's so average. But I'm telling you, I'm inviting you to live a life that's anything but average. So we've given these behaviors. Today we're going to look at a different behavior, one last behavior that Jesus gives that should we apply. He says, I don't promise what your life will be. Will it be extraordinary? Maybe. Will it be excellent? Maybe. But I promise you, it will not be average. Now see, this is another descriptor of average. Average knows exactly what to do. Average knows exactly what to do. Jesus is staring at this crowd full of people. It's the very end of the day. And he introduces this concept. He says, hey, you're all sitting here listening to me. Well, there's two kinds of people here. There are people that you know exactly what to do. You have heard what I've said and you now know what to do. And then there are some of you that are going to actually walk out of here and do it. Isn't it true? In most situations of your life, you know what to do. If somebody were to say, hey, I'm trying to be a little more healthy. What should I do to be more healthy? You know what to tell them to do. You're like, well, you eat less calories and exercise 3, 4, 5 times a week. Well, what about marriage? Well, what should someone do to have an anything but average kind of marriage? You know what you'd tell them. You say, well, make sure that your wife's always right. Step one. Step two, tell her that she looks great and everything she's wearing. No, I kid, but you know. Well, you listen really well. You believe the best about them. You do what you say you're going to do. You love them, whether it's easy or whether it's hard. You know what to do. What about as an employee? Somebody said, hey, what do I need to do to be a great employee? You know what to do. But the question is, are you doing it? The average knows exactly what to do. Now, sure, there are times in your life where you don't know what to do. Those are not average though, right? Most of the time in your life, you know what to do. And Jesus says the same thing to this crowd. And so do you. Average, another way to say it, average is impressed with attendance. Average is impressed with attendance. Do you ever feel this way? Now, some of you I recognize, you came to church today, and maybe it's your first time in a long time, or maybe it's your first time ever to one of our churches, or maybe you're even watching online today. We're so glad that you're here. You took some action and you actually came. And you know what our goal for you is? This is setting the bar really low. But if you're here for the first time, our goal for you is that you would come back. That's it. But for others of you, you've been coming a long time. And isn't it true that sometimes after we've come to church a number of times, we begin to inherently feel better about ourselves? Why? Because we were there. As if attendance earns you anything. Let me illustrate it this way. I went to Georgia Tech to college, and I graduated from Georgia Tech. I studied engineering there. And obviously, in Atlanta, Georgia Tech has a great name. Not a great athletic program, but a great name. And so I'll tell people, I'll say, oh, where did you go to college? I said, oh, I went to Georgia Tech. Oh, wow, that's okay. Well, that's interesting, you know. And then they'll say, well, what'd you major in? Oh, I majored in engineering. Oh, my goodness, wow, that's fantastic. And I can feel them giving me some kind of credit. And of course, my pride enjoys that. I enjoy that my esteem is held in higher regard in their mind because I went to Georgia Tech. The problem is that yes, I did study engineering, but should you, God forbid, ask me to engineer anything in life, you and I would be in trouble because I cannot engineer much. In fact, that's an overstatement. I can't engineer anything. As I was thinking about this, I started realizing I am more equipped to engineer this than I am to engineer anything in life. I could engineer the train at the mall better than I could engineer anything in this world. I couldn't engineer myself out of a paper bag. And the thing is that sometimes we get into that trick and we think, oh, well, you went to church. Good for you. Yeah, but have you done anything with it? What does that matter? Actually has everything to do with it. See, average is impressed with attendance. But you know this is true. Just being in an environment doesn't change you, doesn't affect your life. And Jesus said the same thing to this crowd this day. He gets to the side of this mountain. He teaches them all day long. He tells them all kinds of amazing things about what they should do with their life and how they should live and how they should treat other people and how they should make decisions. And then he gets to the end of the day and he says, all of you have heard what I've said, but there's two kinds of people here. There are those of you who are average and you're just going to walk out of here and not do anything about it. And then, there's very few of you. How do I know it's few? Because in the same sermon, he said there's a wide road. There's a wide road that's well-traveled. It's worn out. It's worn down because so many people are on this road. There's people standing on the sidelines cheering you on, saying, way to go, handing out water bottles on the wide road, saying, great job, saying, let's get a selfie. Oh my goodness, it's been so long since we've seen each other. And then he said, there's this narrow little road. He said, only a few people even find it. He says, if you drive past it, you're going to miss it. It's this small little narrow road. It's not even paved. He said, but one of these roads leads to life, and the other one leads to death. He says, most of you, you're going to walk out of here, you're going to pat yourself on the back, and you're not going to do anything that I've said. But he said, a few of you though, there's a few of you that want to be anything but average. And you're not going to be impressed with what you know. You're going to be a person who puts your feet to the ground. He says, I'm going to put action to what I've heard. He gives us this illustration, the very end of Matthew 7. He says it this way. Verse 24, he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine. And then he gives us a positive illustration and a negative illustration. Now, if you read your Bible, you're going to read this in a linear way, and you're going to go from 24 to 25 to 26, 27, Matthew chapter 7. But I want to teach through it, and I'm going to put both of them on the screen together so we can look at the positive illustration and the negative illustration because they're so similar in context. He states one positively and states one negatively. This is the way he says it. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and blank is like a wise man. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and what? But then he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and what is like a foolish man. They both hear the words, but they respond differently. One is wise, one is foolish. What is in the blank? He says, every one of you who hears these words of mine and understands them, you're wise. No? Everyone who hears these words of mine and takes notes, good for you. No? Everyone who hears these words of mine, what he says is, and tweets them, is like a wise man, right? So if you go to church, you sit there in the environment, you go, oh, that's good. You know, give it a couple, and then you tweet it. Oh, that's it. No. No, here's what he says. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like, thanks, you can go to the next slide. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. Then he gives us the contrasting idea in verse 26. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man. He says, there's two kinds of people. Some of you, you're going to walk out of here and you're going to know what to do. You're not going to do anything about it. He says, you're actually a fool. I didn't say that. I would never call you a fool. But Jesus says you're actually foolish because you've deceived yourself into giving yourself credit for attendance. You've actually tricked yourself and you've thought to yourself, good for you, self. I'm so proud of you for just going. Jesus is going, nah, that's foolish. It's average, but it's foolish. He says, you want to live in anything but average life? You hear these words of mine, and then you put them into practice. You put real street-level decisions to what you know. He gives us an illustration of it. He describes it. He says, it's like this. He says, next verse says, the rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew, and it beat against the house of the man who put the words into practice. What happened to the house? It did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Jesus says, your belief is important. What you believe, it's very important. But your house is actually built not on what you believe to be true, but on what you actually do with what you believe to be true. He says, more important than what you know is what you do. You're packing your bags. You're building your foundation for that day when the storm is going to come. See, gratefully, and I say this not because I like suffering, but because this is reality, Jesus doesn't say, hey, this is how you avoid the storm. He doesn't say that. Why? Because no one in life avoids the storm. He doesn't say, if you put these words in practice, you'll actually avoid the storm that's coming. No, he doesn't say that. He says, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. Which do you want first? We'll take the bad news. Okay, bad news is there's a storm coming. For all of us. Some of you, today, if you had to tell your story, you would go, oh, I'm in the middle of it. Or we just went through it. Or I can unfortunately see it on the horizon. He says, I want to tell you how you can endure in the storm. He says, I don't want to teach you how to change your circumstances because you can't. But what I can do is I can teach you how to build a foundation inside of your life that's so strong that it will endure any storm. And it begins with putting my words into practice. He gives us the contrasting idea. He says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. You remember when you were a kid, you used to build sandcastles at the beach? I've got little kids, and so something that's very common for us, right? And you have that naggingly disappointing thing that happens the day after you build the sandcastle. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you build it big, you know? I mean, we're out there for hours slaving over this sandcastle, making it huge, building the moat, you know? I remember when I first taught my kids about the moat, they're like, what's the moat for? I'm like, the moat is so that when the water comes up, the waves will just get sunk into the moat and the sandcastle will still be standing. They're going, wow, that's awesome. So they're digging the moat, you know? Next day, you come outside. They're walking out straight to the sandcastle. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see the sandcastle. They get there. What do they find? Nothing. They turn around at you with that disappointing look like, you lied to me, Dad. How could you ever? You know? What happened to the sandcastle? Well, the waves came and it was built on sand, and so it just washed away. What explicit language Jesus is using to say, hey, if you fool yourself into thinking that it's just about your knowledge, that there's anything good that can come from just listening, he says your life is going to be like that sandcastle. It will have no strength to it. He says, but if you would be anything but average, and if you would be the kind of person that says, I'm going to put actual decisions to what I know, I'm going to be a person that actually follows through on what I know I need to do, he says, that can be a game changer in your life. In summary, he says just this. He says, follow through will determine a firm or a faulty foundation. What determines your foundation? Your follow through. Whether or not you actually do it. It has nothing to do with what you actually know. Knowing it is great, but doing it, that's what really matters. And he gives us the negative side of the illustration. He says, the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, and beat against the house. And what happened to the house of the person that did not put these words into practice? He said, it fell with a great crash. He says, hey, I can't overemphasize how important this is for you. If you want the foundation of your life to have strength to it, it's hard to do, but it's very simple. You just put action to your faith. It's as if he's saying, average people know what to do. You know what to do? Great. No, that is great. It's better than not knowing what to do. But that's very average. Average people know what to do. Anything but average people, they do what they know. Average people know what to do. In your marriage, at work, with your roommates, with your parents, with your health, do you know what to do? Great. You want to be anything but average? You do what you know. Knowing is fantastic. It's very helpful to know. But if there's no doing behind the knowing is actually worthless. It doesn't help at all to just know if you're not going to do. And Jesus says just that. He says there's two groups of people here today. There's some of you who are going to walk out of here and you're going to do nothing. All of you have heard my words. Some of you are going to do nothing with it. It's fine. It's very average. Others of you, though, you know what to do, and you're going to do it. And because of that, you're going to be anything but average. So let me ask you just a simple question today that really is for all of us, me included. What do you know to do that you're not doing? I'm not asking you to come up with something new. I'm just saying, what do you know to do that you're not doing? I would imagine you have something, right? Maybe it's something that you heard from here. Maybe it's something that you heard as a child. Maybe it's something you actually heard Jesus say. Jesus said, you've heard these words of mine. Well, what were his words? If you were to go and read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he gives us a list over and over again. People were astonished at what he said. He said, hey, I just want to let you know. He kicks it off with, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You want to see God? Wouldn't it be anything but average to be able to see and know God? He says, well, then be pure in heart. Your heart needs to have purity. He says, anger will mess you up. Be careful with anger. Be careful with what you do with your anger. He says, sexual sin. He says, you got to be vigilant about the way you handle sexual sin. He actually says, if your eye causes you to sin sexually, poke it out. He's like, you want to know how serious I'm about this? Literally, poke your eye out. He says, hey, I know you've heard it said that you should love other people. Well, it's very easy to love other people that love you. You want to be anything but average? You pray. Don't just love. I'm talking, take it a step further. You actually pray for your enemies. Do what? How about I don't think negative thoughts about my enemies? How about I don't want to kill my enemies? Can I start there? Jesus is going, no. That's average. I want you to be anything but average. You pray for your enemies. He says, hey, if you want to be anything but average, what, give in such a way that it actually costs you. Be an extravagant giver. He says, if you want to be anything but average, I just want to let you know, money and me, that's going to war for your heart. Not me and Satan. I'm talking money and God. He says, you can't love both. You're going to love one or the other. He says, you want to be anything but average? You trust in me, not in your money. He says, you want to be anything but average? I know you're tempted to worry, tempted to stress out about the things in front of you, but would you trust in me? Don't worry. Just stop worrying because it's worthless, he says. So what do you know? What have you heard that you know you need to do that you're not currently doing? There's something for all of us, something in your past, in your thoughts, that you know you need to do. Are you doing it? Jesus says, if you're not, you're average. But he says, come on. You can be anything but average if you would just do what you know. I thought about this message as I was just writing it, thinking about it, talking to other people about it. I wanted to figure out a way, well, how does this actually hit me? If I were in your shoes or in your sandals or your flip-flops, whatever you're rocking today, if I were sitting there in your seat, what would convict me? What do I know to do that I'm not doing? And in the same moment that I was thinking about it, I got this email. This email from Upstreet, of all places. I've got a child in Upstreet. Maybe you do as well, either in Upstreet or Wombland. We have thousands of kids with a bunch of parents that are somehow trying to raise those kids. And we send this email. And it tells you, I think you get it on Sunday evening at about 5 or so. And it tells you what they talked about that day. It's actually a phenomenal idea. And I got to be honest with you. Sometimes I open it up and I actually apply it. And I have conversations with my kids about what they talked about. And then sometimes I just mark it red. And I don't actually read it. You don't ever do that? That's good to know. And so as I was thinking about this, and I know this is personal, this is for me, but I'm just telling you, this is what hit me. As I thought, you know what? I need to do this. I mean, look, just for instance, this was last week's. This is what it says right here. It says, hey, we want to try to teach kids to wait without complaining, to wait without complaining. That's what they talked about last week. Now, I know you might think, oh, well, you're a pastor. Your kids probably don't complain. You know, my kids are actually black belts in complaining, all right? My kids are not JV complainers, all right? They're varsity level complainers. They're amazing at complaining. So they talked about this idea of complaining, and they said, hey, talk about this with your kids. Look what it says. It says, hey, when is it difficult to wait? Do you find yourself complaining or waiting patiently? What can you do differently this week to be more patient? Imagine if you had this conversation with your kids. It would be great. What'd your parents ask you about church growing up? Mine, they said, hey, what'd you learn at church today?
Nothing.
Isn't this a way better conversation to have? And then I had this thought. I thought, you know what? I don't want to be an average dad. You don't either. I don't want my kids to get to the end of their life to be standing at my funeral someday saying, oh man, let's talk about my dad. Wow, he loved football. That's cool. He was pretty average. I don't want that. I want my kids to say my dad was anything but average. And so I thought, all right, I'm going to start applying what I know. Do I know what to do? Yeah. Am I doing it? Sometimes I am. Sometimes I'm not. What about you? I would imagine in most areas of your life, you know what to do. Are you doing it? Average people know what to do. Anything but average people, they do what they know. How are you doing? Are you doing what you know? Are you putting hands and feet, action to your faith? This is really important. Jesus actually said, this is a matter of life and death. He says, he gets to the end of this amazing sermon and he says, the only way I know to finish this is to say, your life depends on whether or not you walk out of here and do something with what you know. He says, please do not be a fool and credit yourself anything for just being here. And I would beg the same thing of you. Please do not fall into the trap of thinking, oh, good for me, I came to church today. Jesus says, oh my goodness, please do not do that. If you do that, you're average. And that's okay. But I want you to be anything but average. So come on. Don't just know what to do. That's so average. Would you be a person who says, you know what? I'm not going to stop there. I've been meaning to do this for months. And I got to be honest with you. This is not easy. I started thinking about just that email. I mean, it's one email. And I thought, why don't I do this? You know why I don't do it? Because it's hard. At the end of the day, when everybody needs to be in bed and asleep, lest someone get in extra trouble, right? You're sitting there going, this is the last thing I want to do right now. It's hard. I would imagine that thing that you know you need to do, whether it's some kind of encouragement you need to give to your kids or something you need to do with your spouse or some kind of extra mile moment you want to do with your neighbors or some kind of decision about your future. It is not easy. It's really difficult to do it. But Jesus says, come on. You know what to do. That's good, but that's average. Would you be a person that says, I'm not just going to know what to do. I'm going to do what I know. So what is it for you? What is that thing in your life that you know you need to do that you're not doing? Would you, for your sake, this is not for anyone's sake but yours, would you say, you know what? Enough's enough. I'm going to quit talking about it. I'm going to quit thinking about it. I know what to do, but I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to do what I know. Come on. It's so easy to be average. Would you be a person that's anything but average? This is what we've said in this series. We've said that anything but average people. If you want to be anything but average, you've got to give more than expected. You've got to exceed expectations. You've got to live for later. Don't get tricked into living for now. Live for later. And you've got to do what you know. I would imagine Jesus looked at this crowd and said, you guys have no idea how much this matters. See, this goes way beyond you. There's generations and generations and generations of people that are going to come behind you. And Their lives are dependent upon whether or not you choose to be anything but average. And a few people in that crowd stepped out and said, you know what? We're going to do it. And I'm guessing in our churches, as large as they are, there's a few of you maybe watching online, maybe here today, and you're going to say, you know what? I'm not going to settle for average. I'm going to be different. I'm going to be anything but average. And I'm going to put my trust in what Jesus says, and I'm going to believe him, and I'm going to do something about it. Because I don't want to settle into a life that's just average. So Jesus invites you. And I hope that you'll say yes. Say, I'm going to be a person who's anything but average. Let's pray. God, I know for some people here, they've got some hard decisions facing them. They've got a decision that it's probably going to cost them something, which may be the reason why they haven't stepped out yet. God, I know if we could see how you see, it would be different. If we could see life as broadly as you see it, if we could see life not just in our tiny little eyes, but in the scope of eternity, I'm sure it would be more simple. But God, we don't. So would you allow us to see differently, to maybe just a moment peek into what it looks like from your vantage point? God, I would just imagine that for most of us, that would be all we would need to push us across the line. God, I pray for the person that knows they need to obey you in an area of their life. God, I pray that they would not settle for average, but maybe today they would choose to be anything but average. For you, for us, for our future families. God, we appreciate the fact that you give us chance after chance after chance. You're such a patient God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.